Baseball. Closing in on a deal. Rob Manfred flew to Arizona. He's meeting with the players. I hesitate to ask what percentage chance Manfred has right now of a season. John Heyman reporting, though, they're getting closer. Now, when you're on a cross-country trip and you leave your driveway, technically you're getting closer. Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone, Isidro Gutierrez. Woody, I'll start with you. Do you think the last 2 days of disaster has broken Manfred and the owners and the players, and we have something here?
I believe so, because there's been so much pressure on Manfred because he keeps waffling back and forth. And for him to get on an airplane and actually go to the Players Association and try and work this out, it's pastime for the national pastime to get this settled. And I think he realizes that he's going to be without a job if he doesn't figure this out. We haven't heard from the owners whatsoever. We've heard from a bunch of players. But I think that this could be the breakthrough that we've been really waiting for for weeks at this point.
Isidro Gutierrez?
Yeah, I agree with Woody 100% here. This has never really felt like a labor discussion based on the coronavirus. This now, for a long time, has just been a typical baseball labor discussion about money. And frankly, I just, you know, Rob Manfred has basically set the tone on the entire discussion by saying 100% we're going to have a season, and then backtracking and realizing that when I say, if I'm Rob Manfred, hey, the season is at risk, and the players are then angry about that, well, then that kind of sets the tone for the negotiations. Now he's over there having discussions, something they didn't have before. So to me, it just feels like a typical labor negotiation, and Rob Manfred needs to lead the way and get this season going.
This is typical? I don't think anything about this has been typical. Kevin Blackstone, where's your view on this?
Well, I just think it's important that Manfred flew to Arizona, where Tony Clark lives. I think Tony Clark and the union broke these impoverished owners and it forced them to come to the table and deal with this on their terms. That's what this means to me. And we know what the players want. They want to play enough games to get paid in full. And so he basically said to Manfred, look, you tell me what the numbers are in terms of games we have to play, and then I'll take that to my membership.
What we're hearing, 65 or 70 games, is that enough? KB, you know, last year, 50 games into the season, the Nationals were the second worst team in the National League, and they wound up winning the series.
19-31. That's
right. Exactly.
So, you know what? But at this point, it doesn't matter how many games. They just want a season so they can make some
money. I agree with you. The expanded playoffs, that could be fun. Yeah. Everyone says they can own July. They kind of always are the owning July. It hasn't gotten them anywhere. July is baseball, WNBA, tennis, and golf. Maybe that's it. All right. Fine. Let's talk basketball then. You guys have all read 113 pages worth of guidelines for the bubble. Let's dig in. No masks on the first bench, masks required on the second bench and referees. Rules for isolating any positive tested player. Rules for anyone breaking the bubble. There's optional wearable rings that track your heart rate and give you an illness probability score. There's a proximity alarm that will notify players whenever they're within 6 feet of somebody for 5 seconds. I'll call that the 5-second violation. Also, an anonymous tip line for bubble violators. Players only lounges, yet to be released movies, single but not doubles, ping pongs. And I think they really did separate teams based on their records in hotels, which is an amazing thing. Isidro Gutierrez, can all 113 pages of this work?
When I read the ping pong issue and they can only be singles, not doubles ping pong, it made me think that they have thought of pretty much everything, right? I know that there's no definitive plan that's going to be perfect, but when you have this much detail as a player, you can say to yourself, okay, in terms of the medical concerns, I believe they have a lot covered. Of course, not everything figured out, but a lot covered. To me, it then just breaks down, do you want to be a part of this? Is this worth your salary being secluded or only until a certain point and then being able to bring family in, or just going through this experience altogether? To me, if the medical things were the what was keeping you out of there, not the social issues going on right now, if the medical issues were, then I think the NBA has settled some of those concerns.
Well, let me ask it to you this way, Isidro Gutierrez, ostensibly, you could realistically cover this. Is this an environment that you think you can work in?
It absolutely is an environment I could work in. The one thing that I'm considering is not necessarily medical and the testing. I believe that'll be covered. It's just being away from family and friends for more than a month at a time. That's pretty much it. I would 100% choose to go.
The family part is kind of interesting because I believe the WNBA has a different scenario. You know, the families are there immediately, whereas this isn't until you get to the certain round of the playoffs. Kevin Blackstone, can you give us your view of it, both from a medical side and just from a lifestyle side?
Well, I'll just say this. 100-plus pages on do's and don'ts within this pandemic. That is scary. Had it just been like 5 pages, you could look over and go, okay, this is cool. I can do that. Fine, no problem. But this
you believe
is
it's viable for a player to look at this and be able to digest it?
Exactly. I mean, this is a huge document just to be able to play basketball and hope you don't get sick. And so I just think it's a lot for people to have to digest. I was just texting with an NBA coach this morning, and I asked him about this document, and he said he has real concerns as he was plowing through it. So I don't know that it necessarily assuages everyone's concerns about what's going to happen down there, but it's an awful lot to ask for people to do for what, maybe 3 months in this bubble out of their life? That's an awful lot.
Coaches could wear masks or opt to not. The first row of the bench doesn't need to. The second row does, Woody Page. And then there's all the interesting stuff like wearable rings and proximity alarms. Remember, the NBA was concerned when they had so many tests early on in the pandemic that didn't look so great. I'm not sure if those are available to the general public. Woody Page, your view of it.
Well, you were talking about it, Tony. Initially, when the season was canceled and suspended, they found that they had the cases that occurred, and they didn't know how to handle it. I would much rather that the NBA is over-planning than under-planning. They're trying to cover every possible issue. They won't cover them all, Kevin, but in regard to being in a bubble for that long, you and I have covered Olympics where we've been overseas for more than 6-7 weeks, and it worked out okay. I think that it will be fine that they're there if they address every issue. They've actually put the horse back in front of the cart. That was causing all the problems with the players last week, saying, where are the medical issues? Now they have addressed them.
Okay, KB, you want to respond to
what? Well, at the Olympics, though, Woody, you're free to go wherever you want and do whatever you want. In this situation, You are basically quarantined. People can't even come visit you unless they have some special reason to, and they themselves go through quarantine. You can't leave. If you do leave, you have to be quarantined. I mean,
players
this
only
is about
lounges, though. Unreleased movies at access to the park that other people have. Any part of this make you think, oh, that could be kind of fun? No, okay, I guess you're not.
They play golf.
The anonymous tip line for players to call out other people who break the bubble. I'm not asking for names. We'll be taking a break right here. Come back in 2 minutes with Buy or Sell.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
News of the day from the NFL. The Chargers interested in working with Colin Kaepernick, maybe? Anthony Lynn says he's not on the official workout list yet, but would be crazy to not have him on your workout list. I wonder what that means. QBs are Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert, and Easton Slick for LA. Israel, whenever you work out officially, so I'll ask you first. Is this a good fit?
I mean, I don't love this from Anthony Lynn. What is he saying exactly, Tony? Colin Kaepernick deserves to be in the league, which to me is the bare minimum. He's setting the bare minimum at he should be on your workout list? I mean, come on, he deserves way better than that.
Kevin Blackstone?
I didn't even know there was such a thing as a workout list. All I know from this is that one of the few black coaches in the league is picking up a bone and tossing it out to the fans and folks who are upset that Colin Kaepernick is not in the league right now and doing a favor for the commissioner and for the owners. That's what it looks like to me.
Oh, so you see this as a favor to the league? Do you believe he's being genuine in that he's a good fit for the scheme they have with the Chargers?
Well, he may be, but all I'm saying is that he's one of the few black coaches, and so he's taking this action, not any of his other colleagues. And by the way, Anthony Lynn's been coaching for a couple years in this league. He could have added Colin Kaepernick to this workout list the past two seasons.
Did you read, by any chance, Anthony Lynn in the LA Times? I think it was LZ Granderson, our former colleague, who did a Q&A with him. And Lynn was very direct talking about systemic racism, both in the country and talking about a greater look at the NFL. Woody Page, can I bring you in here?
Yes, I'm selling Lynn. I'm selling Pete Carroll, who also danced with the issue about a week ago when he said, oh, I think somebody will pick him up, but not us. I think that there should be a team that would reach out, and the Chargers could have done it, and said, we want to sign Kaepernick. I mean, how difficult is it to bring in a third or fourth quarterback?
So you, none of you believe this is him actually saying we want to sign him. Just we're thinking about working him out. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Like Carol said, I regret not signing him. My question to that is, when did you realize you regretted it? Was it 3 years ago, or was it just in the last week? We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Finally, some good news from tennis. Serena Williams says she's excited for the U.S. Open. This might be the first player really to come out and say it like that. You've heard from Novak Djokovic and Nick Kyrgios and Simona Halep and others saying, I don't know if I want to play. But, Kevin, with Serena in, will other top players follow?
You know, they may, because this is coming from someone who's had some health concerns over the years. For her to say that, you know what, she feels safe enough to play in this tournament. Of course, she doesn't have to travel as far as international players would have to travel. But I think that's a good sign.
Woody Page?
I'm buying Serena. I'm selling those players who are waffling on this issue. If you want to play, play. If you don't want, don't play. But she may save the U.S. Open with an opportunity to win another major tournament, and she's saying, I'm in for it. I'm all for her.
That's a good point, Israel. Israel, go
totally
ahead.
Totally echo Woody there. It seems like she saved the tournament, because if an American woman isn't going to play on her native soil during all this and say, no, thanks, I'm a little afraid, then why would any international player come down and do it?
Yeah.
All right, Woody Page. This is one of the rare scored shows of the month, and the scoring not there for you right now. But you know what? Hang around. We've got some ideas in Showdown. I might hear from you as well. Israel Gutierrez, Kevin Blackstone. We've got to talk Kendrick Perkins and Bill Russell next.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
Lamar Jackson, he's been everywhere this week, hurtling jet skis on the cover of Madden, and he went on Complex Podcast, reflected on the game he had in the playoffs versus the Titans, at 3 turnovers, 500 yards of offense, got the L, and said they were caught by surprise. Israel, how do you hear Lamar Jackson there?
I hear it horribly. Lamar, this was the biggest game of your life in terms of proving it to people. And you're giving me the, oh, I didn't get the opponent wasn't that good. Come on. This is not what we want to hear. We want to hear Michael Jordan just create motivations out of you. Don't tell me this.
The one thing I'll credit him for saying was that he did point out that he had 3 horrific turnovers in that game. But do not come with the, they surprised us. What? You came out and they jumped around the corner and went, boo? Come on. Stop. You knew they were coming. Playoff.
Hey, he admitted the turnovers. That's good enough for me, guys. You hurt him horribly. Well, fix your IFB then, Israel. Point, Kevin Blackstone. Showdown 2. I've waited my whole life to say Kendrick Perkins versus Bill Russell. Who you got? This is just delightful. Perkins called LeBron the greatest athlete in NBA history. Here came Bill Russell off the top rope in the mentions with his 11 rings, describing how the Olympics wouldn't even let him high jump, even though he was ranked number 2 in the country, because he was already playing basketball. And he talked about his sprinting ability as well. KB, what are you doing with Kendrick Perkins? What are you doing with the greatest athlete debate, LeBron or Bill Russell or somebody else?
Well, you know, with Bill Russell, that was great because you just educated Kendrick Perkins. I like history. You want to go for an athlete who's greater than any of those guys? How about Jim Thorpe? Played professional basketball 2 years, played professional football 13 years, and won the decathlon and the decathlon in the Olympics. Come on. Stop it.
It's really impressed.
I'm not exactly down with Kendrick Perkins making these sweeping generalizations here, but that photo that Bill Russell used, that was like pre-Fosbury flop, doesn't look like the most athletic move ever.
Oh, come on.
You can flex over it.
Oh, what
do you mean? Not the greatest
flexes. He's the second best high jumper in the country, and he couldn't even compete because of stupid
rule. I've seen LeBron jump pretty high.
You ever see Will Chamberlain put out the photo of running track? It was like the original Usain Bolt where he was looking at the competition and nobody was around. And he could out-bench Schwarzenegger. You always joke that Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain played against plumbers. The joke is on the plumbers, not on them. Those guys could do it. KB, take the FaceTime.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out to college athletes across the country who are finally understanding their collective might. They're getting involved in issues on their campuses. We know about what happened at Oklahoma State. We heard about Clemson. We've heard about UNLV. We've heard about some other schools. But don't stop there. It's time for those who would become college athletes to recruit the colleges and the coaches, make them adjust to you and not the other way around.
There you go.
The higher part of higher education. Thank you, Professor Kevin Blackiston. Hey, Woody, I got to bring you in here. We're going old guys versus younger guys, greatest athletes. What's your view of it?
Bo Jackson, Jim Brown, me in the fourth grade. I think Deion Sanders.
We're asking about NBA players, though. What do you want to have, Bo Jackson? Yes, Bo Jackson was a good athlete. Thank you, Woody. All right, we're done. 43-hour, 40-minute break. See you tomorrow.